York sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title, it's as simple as that.
On Cork's
Red FM.
Yeah, welcome along to another installment of the Big Red Bench here on Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour. And the latest from Budapest at the Champions League final is that Arsenal lead by 1-0 after a power strike by Trossard, a man who actually played here in Cork on the way back in 2016 for Genk to end Cork City's Europa League dreams. We're going to go back to hurling first, rather, and it was a pleasure to be joined by the Cork Hurling Pod earlier today, a man who knows Cork hurling inside and out, and Cork GAA as a whole, rather, and we look back at the year so far, and of course, look ahead to the clash with Limerick in the park in a week's time. Enjoy. All right, we're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by a guest that's taken the Cork hurling fandom by storm over the past few months. So delighted to be joined here by the main man himself. Look, how has the pod started for you in the first place? It's been some road over the past few years for Cork hurling in particular, but why did you decide that this was going to be the year you're going to start?
I'm a mad, as you know, probably from listening to me, really, and all the games I go to, when you listen to my pods, I'm a mad Cork GAA fan, you know, I just love talking Cork GAA, and I love going to the games, and I've always kind of wondered why someone hasn't really done a Cork GAA pod, you know, like there's great national pods out there, but they're covering all the teams, and I just, you know, and they're great sports shows like yourselves, but you have to cover a lot of sports. So I just wanted a specific GAA one. And when I saw John doing the football one, in fairness, I'm like, he was the first man through the door to do a GAA pod. And when I saw him leading the way, it kind of gave me a bit of confidence, you know, just to go, you know, just give this a try, like, you know, just give it a go and see how it goes. And so I just decided to give it a go. And like, I was very nervous doing the very first one, you know, as today it's not my main job really, and I wouldn't be media trained. And like, I sat down to do the first podcast, and actually, believe it or not, it took me an hour to pluck up the courage to sit down in front of a microphone and start recording. I just couldn't believe it. Like, I have great respect for you radio DJs now who sit down in a room with no one in the room with you and hit record and just talk. And I found it very difficult, but I eventually got into it. And then I started, I downloaded it onto the phone, and I wasn't too sure if I was going to release it or not, you know, because I was nervous. I was like, is this going to be any good or not? And I went off to a game, and I was listening to it throughout the game. And the game I was watching, and I was so nervous I couldn't concentrate on the game that I was watching, listening to it. And then when I listened back to it, I said, look, you know, it's decent enough, the first episode. And I said, look, let's just release this now and give it a go and see what the reaction has been like. And in fairness to 99% of people out there, they're very positive in what they're saying about it. They're very encouraging. And I will continue to do it as long as I'm enjoying it. That's the key thing. I'm enjoying talking to Cornering with people and fellow fans. I'll continue to do it. So I was kind of happy to do it. And the feedback has kind of kept me going. So I'm happy enough to do it. I'm happy enough where it is, to be honest.
Well, I've said, look, us radio DJs, we need no respect anyway. And I think when you're listening back, you always think it's kind of worse when recording than when you're actually listening to it back again. But look, it's been a privilege to listen. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. You can find it up on YouTube, Cork Hurling Pod. And yourself, you're pretty active on X now as well, where people can get involved and chat away and ask questions and everything like that. Cork Hurling at the moment, like, how have you seen the road over the last few years and to where we are today?
There's definitely huge ground we made in the last 2-3 years, in fairness now. And we are so close to just getting over the line at senior level. Yeah, we've been very unlucky the last 2 years. It's been heartbreaking in a way. But we are very close, and there's great work going on underage. And I just feel if we could get that one All-Ireland senior level done, we get that one to the whole, you know, the dam would burst, I think, really. Because we all see, like, the huge wave of momentum that's there. And all the kids, they're loving going to the games. And there's huge crowds, like... And if you get that one win and get that monkey off our back, it will really explode. Like, when you have everyone in Cork will be hurling and we'll be mad about hurling, and it can only be better for Cork hurling. And I do think we're really close, in fairness. I think we've got the right guys in charge there now. In fairness to Ben O'Connor and Furlong at under 20 level, they're doing great work, the two of them. And they're developing our teams, they're developing our players, and we are very close. And let's hope to God now in the next 2 years that we do get over the line.
How do you reflect on the last 2 years and maybe finals in particular? Do you have the sense, and maybe many Cork hurling fans do, that Pat Ryan was maybe a bit too soft or a bit too passive at times?
I think he got them playing great hurling. You know, that was the big strength that he had. Like, he got them playing fast ball in. We just came up short tactically, really, in the big day twice. I thought we were caught against Clare. We didn't go for enough goals. I think he's mentioned this himself in an interview I heard him doing lately. He mentioned that we didn't get enough goals in the day. and we didn't have the action to go for goals, and I thought they beat us tactically around the middle as well. And last year then it was a total malfunction, really, the second half tactically, that we just couldn't combat the seven defenders and the sweeper. So I thought he was so close to get us over the line, and we all wanted it for him because we all love the guy, and he's hurling mad, and he'd been through a lot, but he was just coming up. We were just coming up short of it tactically at times. So maybe the change was probably needed, or maybe he just needed an extra bit of help on board with him, but he obviously didn't agree to that. So maybe it's kind of like Ben come in now, might change. He's clear Ben is changing things tactically. We can see that from our game plan, that we are moving away from the totally direct stuff. But we were just short tactically, I feel, last 2 years of getting over the line. We are up there with the best hurling team in the country. We have some of the best players in the country, which seems to be that for tactically cuter and a bit more ruthless as well. That, you know, that psychology of burying teams. We need to find that as well.
Well, it was good that we saw it against Clare the last day. Like, how do you think we have fared this championship? My own opinion is kind of like, geez, we've done well. Like, I mean, hard to argue at 4-4, never really went for that 100% until the Clare game, but sure, how good were Clare anyway, to be fair, on that day. So how do you see us coming into this Munster final and the championship so far?
Yeah, I think, like, it's been a positive year. I think the league, we did manage to rotate, and we still got to a final, in fairness. And we did find a few players, you know, we found Buckley and Walsh. Now, these guys are always coming through. We all knew about them. But crucially, we got them into the team, and we got game time into them. And then we got 4-4 in Munster, and you can't complain about that. And we are, like, I think we are a bit stronger this year because the big move. Well, there's two reasons, really, why we're probably motoring better this year than last year, maybe. Hopefully, please God. And that's because the one, Tommy O'Connell has been brought into the team, and the second one is our game plan is shifting and it's beginning to take off now, as we saw against Clare. But I think it's a massive plus that Tommy's in the team. Like, the fans love Tommy O'Connell. We all love him for a reason. And putting him in the middle of the field, you know, it's really helping the team this year because he's offering that bit more protection for the back line especially. And we had the best defence in Munster this year, which is kind of rare for us because we're usually a shootout team. And I think that a lot of that is down to Tommy O'Connell, in fairness. He's dropping back a lot. He's offering a lot of protection. He's offering an out ball as well. The defenders, they do trust him and they give him a lot of ball. He's a good man to use the ball as well. But his work rate then around the middle is very good. And he's a great man in the rocks. You know, when he drops back, he's almost like a fourth half back for us. When he drops in there and then the puckers go long and he fights like a dog under the breaking ball for us. So that's really helping the defence. And I think it's made the team stronger this year then. The fact that we have Tommy in there, it's crucial. We want him to stay injury free now, because we see what he's bringing to the table, and I think the fans love him as well. He's a real fan favourite. I've kind of been calling for him since the very first episode to be in there, and I'm delighted that Ben is putting him in there. And the second reason then is that we are more tactically flexible this year. We do seem to be have a plan A of going long. It's still there, but we also have the short game as well. And, like, if you've been listening to my pods all along, I have been kind of despairing at our short game at times. It wasn't the best, you know. We were running into trouble a lot. There's a lot of sideways hand passing, backwards hand passing. But against Clare, it did seem like the short game was taking off. You know, we were snappy with our passing. It was 20-yard, 30-yard stick passes quickly into the hand and getting the ball away quickly. It just seemed like against Clare that our short game was kind of taking off. And we hope now that it'll keep improving now for the rest of the year, and that we'll have the long ball and the short ball, and we'll be hard to beat then, because we'll have two game plans tactically. And we can only play what we were up against last week against Clare. Time will tell how good or bad they were, but that's not our fault. You know, we can only play what we're up against. And we did the business and we put them away, so we have to be happy with that.
You mentioned Tommy. Is he the standout for you this championship so far?
Yeah, I think, like, you wonder about hurlers of the year and all this, like, and people talk about them. But I think we've got an unsung hurler of the year playing in the back line. That's Niall O'Leary. I think he's been our most consistent player this year. He's been fantastic, really, in every game. You know, he's just solid out and reliable out. So I probably would have him as our most consistent player. But I think, yeah, you would say Tommy is going well, all right. And I think Sean Donoghue's having a great year as well. A lot of our backs, really, they're coming into their prime now. O'Donoghue, Niall O'Leary and Mark Coleman. And they are playing well. And, you know, they are a big reason why our defence is going better this year, because these guys are in their prime and they're having good campaigns. So I would say Niall is probably having the best season of all of them, consistently wise. He mightn't stand up like guys, you know, some of our star forwards or some of other guys, but, you know, people who do love the hurling recognise this guy and they spot what he's doing, and he's been fantastic for us.
Looking at lads who maybe oftentimes get criticised or maligned sometimes by myself, like Pat Collins and Damien Cahalan, I think they're two lads who can stand out and say they've actually had a pretty good championship so far and have surprised a few people, and myself included in that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, the hardest part in a podcast really is when you have to go in and guys, and because you want to be honest, and because you know people who love their hurling and are listening to it, they will see through the rubbish if you're trying to, you know, trying to cod them. So you have to be honest about players' performances. And the hardest part then is kind of calling out guys when they're not going well. And like Pat Collins, he didn't, you know, he's had his tough moments in the past. Like we all know it. We all saw the on finals. There are horror shows really for the fella. But the last two games, I think he's been excellent for us. And he's really, his confidence is growing in the puck outs a lot because he's mixing the short and the long. And he's picking when to go short and when to go long very well. And he's like, he's getting off a few mid-range puck outs there now against Clare, and that'll make us stronger as well. In fact, we have three options in the puck outs. So I'm delighted that he had two good games there now, the last two games. And we do call it out when guys are not going well. So it's only fair that we call out when the guys are going well. So I'm delighted for him. And with Callahan, like I've never had a problem with Callahan, to be honest. You know, he does get a bit of stick, and I do think it's unfair. I think a lot of it is probably because his father was his a football background, and then people throw cheap criticism at him then. And he's like, oh, he's a footballer. But like he's always given us everything. We know that with him, you know. And he's been in tough situations over the years, like where there's been no protection in around him, you know. And he's been asked to defend guys in 40, 50 yards of space. Guys like Shamey Callanan and all these guys. And, you know, no fullback in the world is going to put up with that. Like, and you know, no fullback is going to come up looking good with that. And he did his best for us, you know. But I'm always happy when he's in the team because I know he'll give us everything. He's no Kieran Joyce, we know that. He'll probably know that himself. But we do know we have a guy there that will give us everything and put his body in the line. And so we saw that against Clare when he stopped that ball in the line. You know, he's practically sat on top of the ball, put his body in the line and stopped going over. So I'm delighted he's going well. And we're going to need him to have a good year because we all go full back to a crucial position. And we're going to need him to be strong there. And he's going to be up against Limerick because they will be putting the ball in there this year. And they are going for goals. So we're going to find out more about him again in the Munster final. We're going to need big games from two of those lads. And I hope they deliver.
How do you think Limerick are going to approach the Munster final?
I think they're going to go all out. I think both teams are going to go all out for this, really. I think I've heard a few of them say, right, that they want to get the Munster Championship, the trophy back, especially when we took it out of their backyard last year up in the Gaelic grounds. I think they're taking that kind of personally, but they'll be going all out for this. And we know how they play. Like, they play the same way every year, but it's just so hard to stop. But definitely the difference is this year is that they're going for goals. You know, they are putting the ball into Gillan more, and he's the best inside forward in the game for me. So it's danger when they get the ball into him. So we're going to have a hell of a job to do. Cut out the supply of ball going to Gillan and then stopping him when he's on the ball. It's, you know, easier said than done.
Who are you putting on Gillan for the game?
God, I probably would go on Niall O'Leary, I suppose. You know, he's probably our most foreign player. Like, O'Donoghue will give us everything. We know that with Sean O'Donoghue, but he hasn't gone well against Gillan the last couple of years, and maybe he could do with a bit of a break from him. So I probably would go on Niall O'Leary and give him a chance to feed Gillan. It'll depend as well, I suppose, if Shane O'Brien is playing, then Callan will probably match up with Shane O'Brien, but he wasn't playing the last day for Limerick. So it'll be interesting to see who they start in there, because they've usually put Niall O'Leary on Peter Casey, because Niall is mobile, like, and he'll stick with Casey. But I just think now, the way Gillan is going, and that Niall has been our best player in the backline this year, let's try Niall O'Leary on him.
And, like, what way personally are you seeing, like, I can't help but, like, doing brain maths and probabilities. I'm like, would you let Limerick have the Munster if it somehow meant we'd have more probability winning the All-Ireland, even though, look, obviously it doesn't work that way whatsoever. In my own head, I'm kind of justifying Ashram have this one, like, do you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It does seem like an easier route if you come second, doesn't it? Like, with all due respect to the Leinster teams, you're playing number three in Leinster, and then you're playing the Leinster winners if you do lose the Munster final, you know? But then there's the thought of, like, if Limerick won that in Park of Cleveland, the thought of their crowd invading our pitch then and presenting the trophy under the south stand, I don't know. It'd be hard to take that. Especially our first Munster final at home in the new Park of Cleveland. You know, we do want to win it. But I do see what you're saying. It does seem like the easier route if you do go second. And let's be honest, like, it is the All-Ireland that is all that matters for us this year. You know, we won the Munster last year. We won the league last year. It's the All-Ireland final, the one we want to get back to. The exercise of the ghost of last year. And just get over the line, and you know, we'll all be happy then. We are one win away inside of the Munster final or the quarter final from getting back to Croke Park, and that's what we all want, just to be back there with a chance to get to the final. But I know what you mean. It is kind of like, maybe it is going to be hard to beat them twice, there's no doubt about that. If we have to beat them in the Munster final and in the All-Ireland final, it will be tough.
We probably won't see until they actually do it, but do you think mentally they have the resilience now to go forward? Like, I mean, the semi-final or the final last year, the second half of that, we're going to be in their mind somewhere, losing to Clare the year before. It's going to be tough on some of those lads to rise again.
It is going to be hard. And as you say, we won't know the answer to that question until the question is posed, really, in an All-Ireland final. And like, they do have Gerry Hussey in there this year, dealing with the sports psychology side of it. And he's got a big job in his hands there to get these guys turned around and get their confidence in their heads right. You know, that the last year won't be affecting them. And it does seem like last year is not affecting them. I thought it would this year, that we might struggle to get out of Munster after last year. But they do seem to be just playing with abandon and just getting on with it. And I'd say Ben O'Connor would be straight and direct with guys. And I'd say he would call it as it is. I think Pat was a more arm around the shoulder kind of guy, which is probably what we needed when these guys are young. But now they probably do need a bit more straight talking. And I'd say Ben would be straight with these guys. And I hope that stands so psychologically, but definitely Gerry Hussey does have his work cut out there now. If we do get back to a final, to make sure the ghosts of the last 2 years don't creep up, really, and getting these guys' heads. Because, you know, you're not going to win an All-Ireland final without a hell of a performance. And if you're psychologically not ready, then you're not going to deliver a hell of a performance. So it will be difficult. But I just hope now that these guys think enough is enough. You know, enough is enough. They took an awful lot of abuse last year, we know that. And they're the butt of a lot of jokes from counties outside of Cork. Maybe they're thinking, now, the hell with this, and let's get over the line here and not be listening to anyone else and just doing the business and getting it done for their own sake and for their family's sake and for their club's sake. And we all want it for them and we want it for Cork Curling, and let's hope they do.
Yeah, could there be an element of a certain like trauma bonding together of the shared experiences with the messages and the WhatsApps and all that, and you know, the memes online, that that'll actually bring them together and they'll stand up on the day and say, look, it's not going to happen again?
Yeah, you'd hope to be a tighter group. And, you know, they do have a lot of hurling play in the last 2 years. But when you think about getting to three All-Ireland finals in a row, it's hard going, you know. So there's a lot of water passed under the bridge of this team. And you do hope, yeah, right, that the scarring from last year will actually make us stronger. Whatever doesn't kill you will make us stronger, as they say. We're going to be hoping that that is the case. But let's get back to the final first, and then we can answer those questions.
Brilliant stuff. Well, it's a pleasure to be joined by you. Look, lastly, we'll use it as a bit of a Munster final preview. Do Cork retain the Mick Mackey Cup?
God, it's tight. Well, no, you're putting me on the spot there. It's going to be very tight. I think everyone's going to be saying that. It's kind of like your head versus your heart. But I just think the home field advantage might just get us over the line. And we're all scrapping for tickets now. The hunt is mad. It's going to be hard to get in there, but we hope again that it'll be a huge Cork crowd there for the Munster final, and it will get us over the line. So I'm just tipping us, but it will be close.
I'm away in a wedding, unfortunately, but at least I don't have the panic or worry about tickets my mind's at ease in some sort of way. Look, Cork Hurling Pod, it's been a pleasure. People can find you. Where can they find you again? And just so they know,
they can find me just Cork Hurling Pod on YouTube. That's where all my podcasts will be, and I'm also on X, and I just call it Cork Hurling Pod in that as well, just to keep it simple. So it's easy to find me, and my DMs are open for people if they do want to get after me and make comments, because people love talking Cork Hurling, and I'm only willing to talk Cork Hurling with anyone.
Well, brilliant stuff. We'll have to have you on again so in future, hopefully after the Munster final. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks a million. Yeah, Slán. Thanks a million.
Yeah, and be sure to check out the pod if you get the chance. It's a fabulous pod for any Cork Curling fans or any Cork GAA fans out there. And the thought of the Limerick fans celebrating on our field. Oh, shuddering here in studio. But Cork Curling sent a dagger to the heart of Kilkenny earlier today as they beat them 225-116 in the All-Ireland quarter-final of the minor. And great win for them. And a huge congrats to the lads in Thurles. And by the way, it was actually Havertz who got the Arsenal goal. I called it wrong earlier. Not Trossard, confusing the man who set it up. But it remains 1-0 to Arsenal in the Champions League final. And I will keep you up to date with proceedings there in Budapest. In keeping with football now, Cork City got themselves a 4-0 win over Finn Harps of Donegal last night. And our very own Roy O'Hagan caught up with gaffer Barry Robson after the victory.
Barry, 4 goals tonight, and is that your best performance of the season?
I don't know. Listen, I actually took them in at half time, but I should have been 4 up at half time. I actually said that to the players. I got a bit frustrated about that, and I think, as I said, should have been 3 or 4 up at half time, and then some of my chances we had at the end there as well. So, no, listen, I think I think everybody will think that is our best performance, but I think we've performed like that in other games. We just haven't taken our chances, and we did take our chances there tonight, made the game a bit easier for ourselves.
How good is it to see Rory Keating finding the net now?
Yeah, listen, we've managed to get his. He's looking trim, he's looking lean. We've worked really hard with him in the background. He's worked really hard, and hopefully we can get some more goals out of him.
Donal O'Connor came in tonight, looked like he'd been playing centre half for Cork City for quite a long time.
Yeah, it was a good game for him at home when we're in control, and I thought he performed well in the game. I thought he looked like he was mature. He never got caught up in the occasions, which was a good thing, but there'll be a lot more tests to come for Big Donal, but what he did tonight, he handled it well.
I know you've got a number of injuries. What's the situation with Harry?
Yeah, with Big Fakra suspended, with Shawnee Maguire out tonight, we had Rory Feely out. It's a long term, with Fitzy long term, Matty Kiernan long term. We're going to be missing Dara Crowley next game, suspension. So do I have to go on? But listen, this is what football is, and sometimes I think we've had a couple of suspensions, but I want us to be an aggressive team, and I want us to be, there's been times that we could have been better with that, and the injuries is nothing to do with overload of training. It's all been tackles.
Yeah.
And that's hard. That's just bad luck sometimes. And so listen, we've got a couple of weeks, so we need to get the boys back down again, but get them back in again and see where we're at, and see what type of team we could put out in the next game as well. So.
Was it a calf injury for Harry tonight? Was it
it was a calf injury, so we'll see how that goes. I don't know what the extent will be, but we had I think it was a nursery we had on the bench there tonight, but it was a terrific performance, and the way I like is to play that real aggressive and fast and exciting stuff. It was good.
Yeah, to see Kareem Fonseca come on, he looked like he's a bit about him, certainly plenty of pace anyway.
Yeah, listen, we he's come in and trained a few weeks, and we thought he did quite well when he was in training, and I've also got Killian playing out there, and I try to take Killian off and give him a bit of a break as well, because obviously he's got to go away with the international team as well, so I'm trying to put fires out everywhere here at the moment. And the kid did well when he came on.
And see Conor Brand last night on the bench for the Republic of Ireland and played for Cork City tonight.
Yeah, it was good. They're stealing our players. Yeah, it's listen, Conor has been outstanding the last few weeks, and he keep that up, and he's improving all the time as a goalkeeper. I see that his distances are getting better, he's reading the game so much better. I think he looks more composed with his handling, and his kicking's improved as well. So, and credit to him, that's all the stuff I've asked of him since I've came in, and he's been improving all the time, so good for him.
Will you be able to switch off for a week now in the break?
Well, no, not really, not knowing the amount of suspensions and injuries I've got. I don't know if we'll be playing the under-20s the next game when I come back, but I was pleased for the fans tonight. They enjoyed it, you've seen them all enjoying it, and listen, that's where we wanted to be as a team, especially the pleasing part is when I've got so many out. You know, I've got so many players out, and that's the players that have come in and been patient, and you can see they look fit and they look strong because how hard we work in training. So I was pleased with that.
Thanks, Barry. Well done.
Thank you,
sir.
Yeah, great win for Cork City last night. Great to see Rory Keating back on the score sheet with two more goals for City as well. Young Donal O'Connor having an absolute stormer in centre back, sticking with the football. And Rory caught up with Republic of Ireland striker Saoirse Noonan this week ahead of next week's clash with the Netherlands in Super Value Park Eguive, and of course to look ahead to tomorrow's Scottish Cup final as Celtic take on Rangers at Hampton.
Saoirse, what's it like coming back to school first off? What's it like coming back as an Irish international, Glasgow Celtic superstar?
Yeah, it's really nice seeing a lot of familiar faces. Some of my own friends that I grew up here with are now teachers and stuff, and I know some of the kids here as well, so it's been really nice, really wholesome. And it was brilliant to see the kids' reactions.
What was the reaction you got? Like, it was amazing, like, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. I know, I think the sun always makes everything a bit better and brighter, and the kids were class. It was really, really nice, and I was one of those kids as well before, so having them all come up and stuff was brilliant, and yeah, I loved it.
And just a little Q&A with all the kids there as well. They had loads of good questions for you.
Yeah, as I said, like, I was one of those kids before, and some of the questions are brilliant. But yeah, look, they're doing brilliant, and it's great to see so many kids now involved in sport and interested in women's sport especially.
The school is incredible. I went to a really small school, so having a school this size is kind of alien to me.
Yeah, I think it's now double now since I was here, but it's class. Like, I only live literally across the road as well, which is really nice, and then the kids wear the same uniforms and all still, so not much has changed, but loads has changed, so it's nice.
And you brought the weather from Glasgow as well, which is was nice.
Yeah, sunny. So, yeah, made the day extra special.
I suppose before we talk about the Ireland game next week, I suppose you have one game left this week with Celtic, a huge game against Rangers. I suppose how are the preparations going?
Yeah, look, it's huge. Obviously, we'd like to end the season on a high, Scottish Cup final in Hampden. And then obviously we're going into that national team camp. So, yeah, I think we just have our heads down this week. We're really focused and it's really exciting. But, yeah, we definitely want to come away with a winner's medal and it'd be great to go into camp with that winner's medal.
Have you played at Hampden before?
Yeah, we played the semi-final there, so and we won that, obviously. So
what's that like, that experience of playing in Hampden? And
yeah, I think I have good memories because we obviously beat Scotland there a couple of years ago to qualify for the World Cup. So going back there, playing with club was a bit nice. And yeah, hopefully I can continue those good memories in that stadium.
What's it like playing Rangers and I suppose the Inter-Firm derby from the women's side of things?
Yeah, look, I think it still gets heated and there's still a big rivalry there. And the fans definitely enjoy it. I think obviously we're probably more like able to get near the fans and stuff. But they definitely let us know what their thoughts are and stuff, which is, it's great. Look, I think it's so important for the women's game to go in that direction and have so many fans get around, and hopefully now we can see a big crowd again come out Sunday. So it's really exciting and it's great that it's going to be Celtic and Rangers in the final, and hopefully we can take the win.
Yeah, I know they beat you kind of comfortably enough a few weeks back, but I can't imagine that's going to have any bearing on Saturday.
Yeah, look, obviously you always want to compete and you always want to beat them no matter who we play, but I think they were obviously still going for the league. We kind of knew we were dead and buried in that stage, and we just come off the back of a good run, I suppose, in the cup and stuff, and it's hard to get ourselves off those games, and we're not going to have excuses, but yeah, Sunday's going to be a completely different game.
Golden boot again for you twice in a row, that's an incredible achievement.
Yeah, look, it's something that obviously a personal goal is really nice, and I wouldn't get it without my teammates. Like, we were only talking with a little boy a while ago, he said he prefers assisting than scoring. But yeah, I think as I said, like, I wouldn't be there without my teammates, so I just have to put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, very, very best. Look, you've got to the 50 goals mark as well for Celtic this year. It's a great achievement again.
Yeah, look, Celtic's a huge club and I'm absolutely honoured to be playing there, and to score that many goals and have caps in a year and a half, it's absolutely amazing. So hopefully I can continue it.
100%, very best of luck on Sunday. Next week though, Parky Cueve, I can see the smile on the face already. You must be buzzing to get back there.
Yeah, again, look, good memories. Obviously got a goal there last time we played, and hopefully can get on the pitch and do the same. And yeah, what a bunch we have, and everyone's just so excited. We had come off the back of a great camp, and I think we were all a bit disheartened with how the games against France and the Netherlands went in the first camp. So yeah, we're definitely here to make things right and cause a few upsets, and we're definitely excited.
Is it possible to describe that feeling of scoring for your country in Parky Cueve?
Probably not, no. It's just a whirlwind of emotion. Like, you nearly feel like crying, you feel like jumping up and down. Obviously that game we had to win by 4 goals, so it was kind of, I could see Carla telling me get back. Obviously if we're going to score against the Netherlands, it's going to be big celebrations. So yeah, I think for me, I just keep visualising that and visualising those moments, and yeah, obviously everyone wants that feeling of scoring and winning, and hopefully we can go out and do it.
Does playing in Parky Cueve make playing for Ireland a little bit more special for you?
Yeah, look, I think playing at home is just extra special. Like, even in Tallaght and Dublin, that's our base now, and that's brilliant. But definitely coming home, and like even my granny being able to go to the games and stuff, it does make it that bit extra special that you can have people down here that can't travel up to Dublin and leave them see what we can do. So it definitely is that extra bit special at home. But playing for your country is playing for your country, and there's no better country to play for than Ireland. So definitely.
And to have Denise and Megan in the team as well is just incredible.
Yeah, look, the girls are absolutely brilliant, and they've definitely took me under their wing, and I'm sure they're both delighted to come home as well, and we all enjoy it. And last time we were here, it was great crack. So yeah, hopefully we can get the wins and it'll make it even better.
How have you found working under Carla?
Brilliant. Yeah, I've really, really enjoyed it. Carla obviously brought me in her second camp, and I've been in them ever since, so I think I've been growing with club and country under her. She's a really, really positive manager, and she puts her faith in me, and I can feel that along with all the other staff, and they've just been a great click. And I think all the girls and all the staff, we're just one now, and it's really, really nice to feel it. And yeah, look, I think she believes in me and I can feel that, and yeah, I want to go out and do her proud and do the team proud every time.
You've obviously played the Netherlands before. It was a close game, just a goal in it in the end. What are you expecting from them second time round?
Yeah, pretty much the same, but this time we're at home, and we love our crowd behind us. We did have a good little crowd over there, but every team that's come to Parky Cueve has struggled. France obviously struggled there, who are a big nation, so we definitely have that bite about us, and if I was them I'd be a bit nervous. But yeah, I think, again, we're a small nation. No, there's no pressure on us. The pressure's coming from ourselves and from within our small little group. So, yeah, we'll use all that energy and bring it out to the field, and we'll definitely hear the fans and feel the fans.
I suppose the important message is for next week, get as many people into the park as possible.
Yeah, 100%. Can hear again a few of the girls today saying they have their tickets and stuff, which is brilliant. And we definitely need everyone to come out, because, as I said, like, when you hear that roar from the fans, that gives you that bit of energy. And it just makes that bit more exciting and makes you able to go chase the goal and hopefully put the opponents on the back foot, and it makes all the difference.
You gave all the kids homework off today as well, which was an extra special buzz for
everyone. Homework off on a sunny day, what more
you're like
you
the
want.
Lord Mayor giving homework
out,
off
they can go out and play football now all day. Yeah, no, nice.
Sish, thanks a million, buddy. Very best luck
thank
next
you,
weekend
Rory,
Sunday as well.
It. Cheers, thank
thanks,
you
buddy.
Well, there's big drama in the Champions League final as Dembele has drawn the game for PSG from the penalty spot. Poor defending for Arsenal to let that happen, to be quite honest with you. But they're tied it up. 64 minutes gone on the clock. It will be an interesting evening in Budapest. We'll do our best to keep you updated from there. And that was, of course, our very own Rory O'Hagan speaking to Saoirse Noonan. That's all we have time for in the first half, but stay with us. Plenty to come.
The Big Red Bench. Cork. Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next 25 minutes or so. Still 1-1 in Budapest for the Champions League final. Gyökeres has been brought on for Martin Odegaard, and Timber has come on for Mosquera, whose last interaction on the pitch saw him give away that PSG penalty, which Dembele graciously converted. Sticking with the football, well, some sort of a way, with KitCon taking place at the Marina Market this weekend. KitCon founder Paul Behan, he speaks to Rory about the surge in popularity of retro jerseys and retro jersey collecting, and well, you just can't beat the real thing.
All right, KitCon is happening at the Marina Market this weekend. An absolute heaven for all lovers of all sports and jersey collectors. Not just across Cork, but all across the country. I'm delighted to be joined by Paul Behan from KitCon now. Paul, how are you, sir?
Good, yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
And this is the first time, I believe, KitCon has come to the Marina Market.
First time we are going south. First time we're in the capital, the sports capital of the country. And we are delighted to be there. Yeah, we've done Dundalk, we've done Dublin for the last few years. And now we're going to the epicentre, where the heartbeat of sport in the country is. And we are excited.
100%. Talk to me a little bit about KitCon and how it started and how it's grown over the last while.
I guess there's a group of sort of kit aficionados that were stuck in their rooms and thinking they were weird until lockdown, when we realised that there was actually a whole lot of us out there, and a sort of a community grew in various different spots. But the community in Ireland formed a lot of heavy collectors, formed a WhatsApp group, and we just wanted an excuse to maybe meet up and to revel in our hobby and to share our stories and show off our collections and stuff like that. So 5 years ago, we had the first one in Dundalk, and it's grown and grown and grown every year since that. And it's gone, you can kind of argue it's gone a bit mainstream now. Everybody's wearing retro jerseys now, and it's cool. We're not polyester nerds anymore. We're gone mainstream. So that's really exciting as well, that the whole space is widening up as well.
What I find when I wear like retro jerseys is that they're great conversation jump off points. The people look at you just going, oh, that's a great jersey. I remember this player from that time and so on.
Yeah, the nostalgia is very heavily tied into it, especially, I suppose, if you consider football, it's gone big business now, big corporate sort of business now. So a lot of people might have the romantic notions of the early days of the Premier League, and it brings us back to a moment maybe in our childhood that sport had maybe more resonance and more importance in your life. And I showed off my Man United collection, which I'm also doing this weekend as well. But I was doing it at an event, and I noticed that people would gravitate towards the jersey when they were 8 or 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be a pivotal moment in a child's awakening to their team or to their sport, and they would gravitate towards them. They'd know the players, they remember goals, they would remember specific moments, and you know, like the Italia 90 moment, I suppose, for most people, they would have that maybe with their team or with some other sport as well. But in the broad sense, the Italia 90, everyone remembers what the Italia 90 jersey. Everyone remembers Paddy Bonner's grey jersey because of the moments, the evocative moments that it brings.
100%. Yeah, you're right there about being a certain age. My favourite jersey that I have is my Man United jersey from 94-95, the black one with the yellow sharp Buchan on the front of it. My dad gave me his one years ago and I still have it. I still wear it. Don't want to wear it too much though, because then sponsor is kind of starting to come off at the front. So I don't want to wear it too much, I guess. But when you...
Well, watch it on its own, inside out. At 30 degrees, there's a bit of a few tips for people. Don't wash it with anything else. Zips, buttons, abrasions, things like that aren't helpful. Inside out is good. And 30 degrees is enough for your old jerseys. That's enough, folks.
God knows, some expert advice.
And no tumble dryer, ever.
Oh, I've learned that mistake the hard way. When you're at these things, like, what is the, I suppose, the biggest request that, like, you know, someone's looking for in a jersey?
Yeah, the 90s jerseys are probably very, 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 very popular still. Like they were sort of be the benchmark. So a lot of people would like the 90s jerseys from the Premier League teams or from the international teams. But the scope has broadened widely now. Some people, you know, it's very cool to be niche and to be, you know, a little bit different now. The trend a couple of years ago was just the big teams. You were a Man United fan and that was it. Whereas now, a third division non-league Indonesian team that nobody else has heard of. That's what's cool. That's what people want to rock up to five-a-side or training and say, all their mates go, who's that team? What's the story there? So the design is very important. The aesthetic and the rarity is certainly very, very common now as well. But still Arsenal United and Liverpool would I suppose be the big teams here. I've noticed a massive upsurge in the GAA retro scene in the last few years as well. Player fit or the retro stuff is very, very common in the GAA now, and even the rugby now. Typically that would have been the preserve of the latest kit and more of the bench wear and the apparel around it, but there's a huge resurgence in the retro rugby shirt scene as well, which is really great to see. And all of those types of products are going to be on display over the weekend and available for purchase as well. So no matter what sport you're into, there's definitely something for you this weekend in Cork. Yeah.
What's the most cash you've seen exchange hands for a retro jersey, and what was it?
Oh, goodness me. I guess I'm not really in the space. Like some of the collectors that I would hang out with would spend thousands of euros on a jersey, but these might be specific match-worn ones, and they might be in the area of the elite collectors, for want of a better word. But for most people, if you're just looking for something to buy, you know, 100, 200 euro will get you an awful lot, like a huge array of stuff will be available if you're looking for that kind of stuff. But yeah, I've seen somebody spend 5,500 euros on a jersey and not think anything of it. And we did have Marco van Basten's jersey at a previous KitCon. Marco van Basten's match worn jersey in the from Euro 88.
Oh, wow.
And that was behind a glass case. That was, I don't even know what the valuation on it, but I could argue it's probably one of the most exclusive jerseys on this planet, you know. Yeah. So that'd be worth a few penny. You might buy a house or two in Ballincollig with that, I'd say.
That's like the Shroud of Turin for jersey collectors.
Yeah, it would be only the Maradona shirts, I suppose. Went Maradona shirt in 86 went for $7 million dollars, and I think did Messi's shirt beat that recently, or from the World Cup as well. But obviously that's the extreme end of this, of the scale, and that's most people aren't in it for the collecting. You know, I even I'm not in that. I don't go through that space to buy jerseys to hang up on a wall. All of these I wear here. These are all my collection. And I wear them, even a 1993 Ireland jersey, I wear it. And so I would be in that. I believe jerseys are for being worn and shown off. But there is a lot of collectors that just want them to have as a sort of a museum piece as well.
And which jersey in your collection, Paul, means most to you?
I have Nogbene's match worn shirt from the Luxembourg game where he scored so that's probably pretty special for me. And also my favorite piece as well, which I actually have right here, which I can show you, from 1998, a VFL Bochum. Just bear with me one second there. You might have to edit this bit out, sorry.
Oh, that's cool.
So this is an iconic jersey anyway in the jersey collector board just because of the design of it. But this happens to be a match worn and signed Savic long sleeve VFL Bochum shirt with an embroidered sponsor. An embroidered crest and embroidered here. It's a work of art. It's absolutely glorious. So that's probably my favorite piece as well. Yeah.
Well, I know like you can buy knockoff retro jerseys online. I'm not disparaging anyone who does that. I have some myself, but there's nothing quite like the feel of having the genuine, real, authentic jersey from that time period in your hands.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things, I suppose, about the fakes. Number one is they are made under probably sweatshop conditions, so we don't really know who is being exploited in the make of them. Also, there's unregulated dyes that they use, so the dyes can be poisonous or can affect your skin. And also, you're operating in the black market, so, you know, there's no taxes or anything being paid anywhere. And regardless of how good the quality is getting nowadays, it's still not up to spec. So you will expect after 5 or 10 washes to see degradation of those. So yeah, buy authentic where you can, because that jersey I showed you there is 30 years old and it's still in immaculate condition. You know, if you mind it, it will last forever. Whereas the fakes just don't have the same stickability. And we only have authentic jerseys for sale and on display this weekend as well. So yeah, it is an option. And especially, I know that the price of kits has gone so expensive now, and I know that's an option, but it's not for me personally, and it's not something I would recommend myself.
Finally, Paul, if people want to head along this weekend, how do they go about it? Do they rock up in the day? Do they have to buy tickets in advance? And what are the times and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, we're operating all day Saturday and all day Sunday, and tickets are €12 for adults, €5 for children, or €25 for a full family, and that will give you access all day in the Marina Market in Cork. On display, we're going to have just for the people in Cork and in Munster, if you're not necessarily into buying kits, just to reinforce, the stuff that's going to be on display is going to be like a museum. It's going to be really, really integral parts of sport, Cork sporting history and Munster sporting history. We're going to have Basil McClear's rugby shirt from 1907, and we have Ron O'Gara and Roy Keane's boots from match worn boots. We have Roy Keane 2002 match issued shirt versus Germany that was obviously never used. We won't get into that now. That's gonna be on display. That's worth the entrance money alone just to see that iconic piece of Cork history. We have a Cork hurling shirt from the 1954 final, the famous three in a row. We have Maya Dennehy's shirt versus Brazil in 1973. We have Dennis Irwin's testimonial shirt from his last Man United big game. We Peter Stringer's last ever Ireland shirt from Ravenhill, and Jacob Ryan's Lyon shirt versus Marseille as well. All that is going to be on display. You're going to be able to see it and be in close proximity for it. I know how mad Cork people are in terms of their sport. So not only is all that going to be on display, we're going to have Irish Sports Museum selling football shirts.ie, Galazzo, Gaelic mystery kits, onside jerseys, football kit box, naturally. Define Aura memorabilia is going to have unbelievable match-worn stuff available there. Cork Motor Racing, even if you're into motor racing, there's going to be apparel available there. And of course, Cork City FC, the greatest sporting entity in town, is going to be there selling their match-worn jerseys from the last couple of years as well, at a really good price as well. So all of that is going to be on display. Your ticket price includes entry to a raffle, and it includes a discount on the street food vendors that are in the Marina Market as well. So you get great value for money. It's a great day out for kids, adults, families alike, whether you're a kit aficionado or just into sports. It's a really, really good venue, or a really good event. And yeah, you can pay on the door or pay online. KitCon Era, the tickets are available there online, or you can pay on the door when you come in. And we are showing the Champions League final, which is at 5 o'clock, which I only realised the other day. So we're showing the... Yeah, we're showing the Champions League final at 5 o'clock as well. If you want to spend a day immersed in sport and then sit down and watch the Champions League final, you can do that too.
Yeah, great to hear from Paul Behan there of KitCon down at the Marina Market. The Champions League final is still 1-1, 83 minutes gone on the clock there. And just when they're speaking, Cork City do have some serious, serious kits from down through the years, from the West Germany kit up, some fabulous ones. Even though I don't know about some of the match day ones, Over the last few years, it's not been a good sign for Cork City, so I don't know how much worth they'd have. But anyway, Rory has been chatting to Eamon Hayes, Cork City Marathon Race Director, about next Sunday's race.
All right, we are a week out from the Cork City Marathon. Delighted to have the race director, Eamon Hayes, join us on the line. Eamon, how are you, buddy?
Good, Rory. How are yourself?
Good, thanks very much indeed. First off, I suppose, what are the stress levels like for you a week out from a marathon? I mean, like, I'd imagine that every single moment of your day is now taken up with this.
Through the roof, Rory, at this stage. All right. Every minute of the day and night, I'd say. Look, the way I look at it, like, if I wasn't stressed at this stage, there'd be something going wrong, you know. You kind of need to be, you know, thinking about nothing else, only the race at this stage, and for the last while as well. So look, everything is kind of going according to plan. So it's just a matter of keep at it, and it's a long summer there afterwards.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, the Cork City Marathon is probably my favorite day of the year. Like, I think it shows Cork people for the people that they are, the great people that they are. Everyone comes out, supports, helps with the marathon, or volunteers at the marathon, and also the fantastic runners as well. It's just a tremendous occasion for the city, Eamon.
Yeah, it used to be my favorite day of the year as well when I was a runner. it's a great day for the city. Like, it is one of those days. There's a few days in the year, you know, if you've, like, you know, you might have a Munster final down the park, or the marathon, or, you know, where everybody kind of gets together, and it's a real showcase for the city, and it's you know, it's one of the kind of really positive events of the year.
Yeah, it's always a fantastic occasion. The atmosphere and the buzz around the place is just absolutely incredible. This year, you've changed the route. You're no longer finishing on St. Patrick Street, you're finishing on the Grand Parade. I suppose, how did that change come about, and what are the benefits, I suppose, of finishing on the Grand Parade?
Yeah, I suppose for the last couple of years, demand for the race has been huge, you know. Mm-hmm. So, last year we sold out in February, and this year it was October. So we have to look to the future and try to build the race and build capacity, you know. So we looked at a few places, and the Grand Parade South Mallee area was the obvious one to us, where we can stack runners safely. We can build the medical tents on the Saturday rather than on the Sunday morning. So there's a huge advantages to us for that. Also, it's going to make a really good finish for the runners as they come in Washington Street and turn right onto the Grand Parade. Grand Prix has kind of been the centre of Cork sport over the years. You have the hurling teams coming back after they win the All Ireland and stuff, and the football teams, and then you'd have the Kellogg's Criterium cycle race around that area as well. It was brilliant, and in the '80s, and also the half marathon and city marathon in the '80s used to use that Assault Mall Grand Prix as well. So it makes sense to us, you know.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. A couple of other changes as well, just a couple of minor changes around Ballyvihan, but I suppose the other main one then is the change away from Sligo coming to Mon, which I know was kind of a bit of an issue the last couple of years with access for emergency services and stuff like that.
Yeah, like I suppose that was one of the primary things that were forefront of my mind when I took over organising the race. That was an area that I noticed myself as a runner. You know, it's in the last couple of miles of a race, it's way too narrow for that, you know. So we've worked with all the stakeholders and managed to get that out of the race now. So it'll just make everything a lot easier, you know.
100%. I'm sure the new route will be a flying success with all the runners next week. I suppose, look, this year's marathon is tinged with sadness, I suppose, with Ellen Cassidy and her passing last year, and I suppose the big events around it this year, and to have the Yellow Heart, I suppose, and the medal in honour of Ellen is it's a very classy touch for the marathon, I think.
It's very, very important to us that Ellen's family, you know, that we helped them through that difficult time. It's the 1 year anniversary, you know, so we contacted the family early there and just kind of went through what some ideas we had or some things that they'd like to be included. So that's where all the various different bits and pieces that we're doing. So the medal, also the t-shirts are going to have a symbol for Ellen on them, all three t-shirts as well, you know. And the half marathon t-shirt is a special design for Ellen as well. So so yeah, that is really, really important to us this year. I think every runner should just take that little bit of time to think of Ellen. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%, 100%. Another thing as well, Eamon, is I suppose it's a topic that it can be quite tough for people to accept, but it's number swapping, and I suppose that practice has to be stamped out. I mean, like, I know the transfer window is closed. I know I've had people contact me looking for numbers, and I'm saying, look, if you're not officially transferred, you can't get a number. Just that's the way of it, and I suppose that's the way of it has to be.
Yeah, so that's, I would say, the most important thing to us in terms of, you know, runners. And, you know, we need to know who you are. We need to know who the runner is. And the only way that we can identify the runner is by their number. We have their medical details on file then, next 10 details. That's crucial in terms of any response. And I suppose, you know, we've all ran in loads of races. You never think anything is going to happen to you, but unfortunately, these things do happen. And you know, the medical response teams need to have as much information as they possibly can. So it just is too dangerous to run under someone else's number, and it's something that we're really, really strong on, you know?
Yeah, you have to be, 100%. And that practice has to change from, I think, every runner in the country. Just get them. Like, I've run under people's numbers, people run under my numbers in the past, and I'm not saying that's right. It has to change. And I think attitudes have to change around that going forward. Just, I suppose, finally, I mean, you handed out the first medals of the marathon during the week to Jordan and Keane Adams, who were doing a tremendous run around Ireland to raise funds for the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland.
Yeah, that was really nice. Thank yourself for that idea, to be fair. but it was really great to see the guys. You know, I think what they're doing is absolutely it's been sensational. It's just taken the country by storm, really. You know, everybody is talking about them and what they're doing, and they really have done an amazing job and raising both money and awareness for dementia. You know? So like that, it's incredible. And you know, it was just an absolute pleasure to meet both of them, to be honest.
Yeah, 100% inspiring today, just to meet them the other day as well. Very finally, Eamon, what's your advice, I suppose, for the runners heading into Marathon Day next Sunday?
Yeah, I suppose, look, the crucial thing is this week, you know, is to do your last few runs, you know, but don't go crazy with the running now between this and the race. You know, it's important to, if you have the training done, let the body recover, you know, and then, you know, hydration and carb loading then in the lead up to the race. You know, I always find myself when I'm running, like, the, you know, the hydration the couple of days leading up to the race just makes all the difference to you on race day, you know. And that'd be my advice, really, that's something to really concentrate on.
Yeah, and just think of the finish line and think of the after party as well in Clancy's.
Exactly, yeah. And you know, the runners by the after party has been absolutely amazing the last couple of years, you know. It's been another fantastic addition to the event. So yeah, focus on that, you know, and that's the
yeah, those thoughts will get you over the line. Eamon, a pleasure, buddy. Very, very best luck with the race, and I'll see you in there in the day.
Thanks a million, Rory.
All right, that's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench on Red FM. Dan Casey signing off. The latest from the Champions League final, it's PSG 1, Arsenal 1 still, 92 minutes gone on the clock there. PSG are playing the better, it must be said. I won't be here next week, so I'm at a wedding in Portugal, but I'll have to call in to hopefully get a Cork preview done, because can't it Limerick, the Limerick contingent out there, get away with it that easy. Dan Casey signing off. Best luck. Hopefully all the fans can get their hands on tickets for next Sunday. Have a good one. The Big Red Bench.